So just as a heads up to people on the call, so we'll be recording the speaker's portion of the presentation so that it can be archived onto the web. Once the speaker is done speaking, then we'll stop the recording. And so none of the question and discussion portion will be recorded. So our speaker, Sarah, hi Sarah. Our speaker, Sarah, will share her own recovery journey and then guide us through some study around step four. She's going to be referring periodically to the big book, Eating Disorders Anonymous, and will provide page references as indicated. There will be time for questions and member sharing after she finishes. Some members find that the book is much easier to follow if using a paper version. I'm going to hand it over to Sarah. Thank you for joining us, Sarah.
Sarah, do you want any timing or will you time yourself?
I will time myself, I believe. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everyone, for having me today. I'm just going to set this timer, if that's okay. Alrighty. So, hi, everybody. My name is Sarah Rose, and Regina kindly asked me to share my story with all of you today. When I introduce myself, I choose not to identify. I am so much more than an eating disordered person, and I hope all of you feel somewhat of the same. In my life, I have struggled with numerous eating disorders, some identified by medical professionals and some not so much, but the feeling is the same with all of them. It's I'll never be good enough or I am not right in some way, shape, or form. When it comes down to it, EDA is not my magic cure-all. Unlike other fellowships where abstinence is the focus, we take our tiger out of the cage and walk it a minimum of 3 times a day, mostly more. So what was it like? Well, I grew up in a very average income household in New England. I live on the West Coast now, but I grew up in the Boston area. My parents have been divorced my whole life. And this is pretty typical for somebody my age. Nothing crazy, except maybe my mom. She suffers, like we all do, with disordered eating. Food was always a way to convey feelings for her and love, appreciation, sadness, everything. Again, I realize this is a very typical story for most of us. And if you're a parent and you think that your child doesn't realize you have an eating disorder, hopefully my story will show you that kids can be a little more perceptive than we think that they are. Ever since I was small, my mom made us eat very formally. We had a formal dining room. Everything was very, very healthy. No one was allowed to leave the table. It was always set very formally. You had to dress up for dinner every single night. And for a child of 5 years old, this was a nightmare. To sit still in a dress for an hour or more while the adults talked, it was awful. And I wanted to go play. I was a child, you know. I found that if I shoved food in my mouth very quickly, I could get away from the table faster. Eventually, my mom would make me swallow my food, and so I realized that by the binge purge cycle, I could get away from the table faster. And even further down the line, I had my bathroom privileges revoked to make sure that I wasn't throwing up my food afterwards. Thanks, Mom. So at my mother's house, all the food was really healthy, like I had said. But there was always way too much of it. When I would visit my father, there wasn't a whole lot of food at his house, but it was always immense freedom as far as non-nutritional foods. I could eat whatever I wanted, as much as I wanted, whenever I was hungry. There were no rules. I quickly associated that food and those feelings with freedom and happiness, and that kind of led me to where I am today, between my mom's house and my dad's house. When my mom would give me what she deemed to be unhealthy food, and I'm using that in air quotes because that's different for everybody, but when she was saying, oh, we're having this treat, don't tell anybody about it, we're gonna eat it in the car together, or like, come here, like we're gonna have a little secret thing together. And those were really the only happy memories I have of my mom. So, obviously psychologically, there's a big thing there as well. As I got older, I became curvier because I am female. and I didn't look like the other kids. And I wasn't very quick or graceful or athletic. And I decided that that was because I was overweight and that was because I was a failure. I wish someone had told me that you just need to practice things to become quick or graceful at them, but alas, I mostly kept to myself, pretty introverted. I still, to this day, am pretty introverted. In my 20s, I discovered the wonders of diet and exercise. Joking. I was never one to do something in moderation. I am not a moderation person. I would go all in, all out. I ran the pendulum between being homeless, drug abuse, abusive relationships, to six-figure jobs and new cars and new houses and having everything I could have ever wanted. I could never find a middle ground. I was always swinging way back and forth. I was either running every day for several miles a day, or I wasn't leaving my bed. I went from binging to purging to starving to diets. I was obsessed with the scale, and every single morning I prayed to the goddess of justice to seal my fate. Nothing I ever did was enough, and I did every diet you could name, and I became addicted to plastic surgery. That was interesting. I made several attempts on my own life and would drink or use to drown my sorrows. That brought me eventually, very long story short, to the rooms of AA, which introduced me eventually to EDA. I made sure, like a lot of us did, to stop at OA along the way. That was a whole nother journey in and of itself. At EDA, the concept of balance and self-acceptance was introduced. Through a lot of self-will and determination, found a sponsor, worked the steps, and basically got involved with service. Today, my weight is not the forefront of my focus in my life. Happiness and balance take the very front. This took a lot of practice, and it didn't happen overnight. Some days it can still be a struggle because I am human, as we all are. With regards to the reading that I was not assigned but made aware of, so I had pages 148 to 158, is that correct, Regina? Yes, okay. So with regards to that reading, in step four in EDA was revolutionary for me. In other programs, I was asked to look at my resentments, but I was never really asked to look any deeper than that. My confusion, despair, self-loathing, guilt, harms done. I mean, the list goes on, and I'm so glad that it does. My sponsor calls it the Big Eight. So that was really important for me. There's so much more that needed to be explored for me. And I came up with a list of frustrations, and I kid you not, 60 pages long. As it turned out, I was a very frustrated person. And what's more, my frustration was all based in fear. And that's what this reading came out to be about for me. Learning to face our fears with moderation, let go of what we can't control. I learned that I needed to be able to fail at things successfully. The world is not black and white. And on page 150, it says, learning to listen and trust our bodies takes time and patience. I thought I would magically feel better after completing step four or five or six or seven. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. But it doesn't quite work like that. It's practice. It's not an overnight epiphany. New patterns of thinking take months, sometimes years to develop. With lots of practice, this becomes a new way of living and seeing things. That's where the magic happens. I didn't magically become thin. I didn't magically gain weight. This is not a diet club. This is not about size. It's a new way of seeing ourselves in a more positive and accepting light. Just as the reading says, things fluctuate. The promises say that we will have freedom, but they don't say always free, no matter what. Life doesn't work that way. When we really get is the flexibility to see things for what they are and how to react in an appropriate manner. We gain an element of flexibility. This section of reading really holds so many nuggets of truly invaluable wisdom. I really could talk for way too much time about it, but I was trying to keep it succinct. I really would like to look at page 157. It says, upon completing our four-step inventory, others assure us that we will still experience many of the same unpleasant emotional responses as before. Yet, there is a real difference. Our work so far has shown us a coherent set of resolutions to situations that cause us pain. When we apply these solutions consistently, relying on our God, higher power, or higher purpose to provide the peace, perspective, and power that was formerly missing from our daily lives, we find we can now turn even heavy emotions to good purpose, regardless of our circumstances. We soon see that our emotional responses to life are not as extreme and overwhelming as before. The key lies in resolutely putting first things first, taking care of basics, and then turning our thoughts to how we can be useful. A lot of people I see write into EDA. I was saying before the meeting that I'm the chairperson of the General Service Board, and I see all the emails that come in and all the emails that go out. Sometimes it's a lot, but I see a lot of emails that come in writing saying, I need help, I need help, I need help. A lot of people write into EDA wanting a sponsor or wanting to work the steps because they feel like it will help them in their darkest hour. And it does, to an extent, but in reality, only you can pull yourself out from your darkest hour. Sponsor isn't like a lifesaver. They're not going to magically save you. You have to put in the work. You have to do the writing. You have to do the reading. And really all of these elements combined are what helps us learn that new pattern of behavior that it talks about on page 157. EDA is a tool, like a rope, to help you out of that pit of self-despair. You only need to grab on. And with practice, you learn how to apply these principles and live life on life's terms. So that was my reflection on this reading, and that is my story. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah. That was really lovely. I appreciate you sharing.